How many people enjoyed Olga last Sunday? Yeah, what a great, she's such a good friend. And so I'm not going to obviously repeat what she spoke about, but you know, she kind of opened up by talking about, can you figure out a pattern of ministry if you look at Jesus' life? Right? And I think if we were to pattern our ministry life today after Jesus' ministry life, our church probably would be real small. Can I get it? Amen? Right? Somebody's like, I don't feel good. Like, hang on, let me spit in your face. And right? I mean, the weird stuff Jesus did to some folks. You know what I mean? And then just the Lord, even in the Old Testament, right? We've got, I think it's King Naaman, I think is the king, but he comes to Elijah and he's got leprosy, and Elijah tells him to go jump in the Jordan River 7 times. And he's like, that river is nasty. I ain't going to jump in that. And his servant's like, look, if the prophet told you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? But he told you to do something simple. Yeah. And he goes and does it, and he's immediately cleansed of his leprosy, right? And so what Olga did say on Sunday was, she says, you know, the only pattern that we do see in Jesus' life is going up the mountain to pray. Right? That's the pattern we see. And if you heard from Olga last Sunday, she told us all these stories about, those of you that are visiting with us this morning, Olga's a good friend of our church. We support her monthly. She is at IHOP, International House of Prayer, not the pancake joint, with Mike Bickle. Great ministry if you're unfamiliar with that, but Olga is an intercessory missionary. That's her official title. And so they have a 24/7 prayer room that's been going on for decades now. 24/7 prayer and worship. I've got friends that have personally been there, and they're like, dude, when you walk into the prayer room, it's like a different world. He goes, we walked in there, and they said we can only stay for an hour when we were getting the tour. We can only stay in the prayer room for an hour. Some of you are like, we got to stay that long? But my buddy said, this guy's a great man of God, loves to pray. He goes, bro, we walked in there, and it was like literally we walked into a different world. And we're in there, and we're praying. He says, dude, I mean, instantly you're weeping, like it's instant. And he says, we're there, and we're praying. And all of a sudden, I feel this tap my shoulder, and the person's like, we got to go. And he's like, we just got here. And he goes, no, we've been here for an hour. And he's like, no way. There's no way we've been in here for an hour. And the guy says, yeah, look at your watch. We've been here for an hour. He said it felt like 5 minutes. That's Olga. So anybody want a field trip to IHOP? Yeah, let's go, man. We can visit the Ark on the way down there. It's on the way. So it's a long trip, though. It's like 30 hours drive. Who still wants to go? Let's do it. Road trip. So anyway, Olga, she told many stories on last Sunday, and funny, right? Some of those, how many thought the Chippendale guy was funny? So again, visiting with us, if you're online, didn't hear last Sunday, she was at an airport, and she sees this man she describes as like, she goes, you ever see somebody that's so good looking, it makes you uncomfortable? She's like, yeah, it was this guy, like just like perfect, you know, face, everything, like, so she says to the Lord, you know, I'll make some deal. I forget exactly what the deal was, but like if he sits with me, then I'll talk to him about Jesus or something, right? So he ends up like sitting like next to her and ends up, the guy's a Chippendale. Chippendale dancer, not from Disney, y'all, all right? Not from Disney. That's probably bad now too. You work for Disney, anyway. Lord, save Disney, that whole company. Straighten them out in Jesus' name. We decree it. Come on, hang in there, church. Every demon that's invaded that company trying to steal our children, we bind you right now. Holy Ghost, I know there's Christians in that company. I know there's Christians in that company. Father, let the fire of God fall in that company right now. I decree that that company is going to start producing wholesome, holy programs in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now. Amen. Jesus' name. Wow. So anyway, guys, Olga told so many funny stories, right? And here's what struck me. How many people want to be bold like that? Right? I mean, how many stories does she tell? She's trying to get out of talking to folks. She's like, Lord, I don't even want to talk to this person. But if they do this, the Lord's like, okay, I got you. Right? But you know that that kind of boldness only comes through prayer. Right? We will never be, the chances of us, let me say this properly. I just want to talk this morning a little bit. The chances of us being bold enough to talk to a random stranger about Jesus without spending regular time, just you and the Lord, is going to be very small. Is that right? See, I think for me, church, I'm going to talk about me this morning a little bit. I feel like, you know, I've been in this a long time, pretty long time, and I feel like I've got a decent, like, mental comprehension of prayer. Like, I understand what prayer is, right? We're talking to the Lord and hopefully listening. That's more important, right? I know lots of scripture about prayer. I even know that there's different kinds of prayer, right? There's all kinds of things we could pray about, and we pray for things differently, and sometimes, you know, that you need to be a little bit aggressive in your prayer life, and it's a, there's a war going on in the heavens. Can I get amen, right? And you can't, sometimes you can't just, oh, you know, well, here's one of my, I'm just going to look over here. Lord, if it's your will, man, if it's your will. Now, should we surrender to the Lord's will? Yes, obviously, amen. But what I found is that most folks, that when they pray that way, it's because they don't actually know what God's will is, because they don't read their Bible. If you read your Bible, the Bible will tell you what God's will is. More often than not, sometimes we still need to listen for real-time downloads. Can I get amen? But you know if someone's being demonically oppressed, it is God's will that they are free. You don't need to ask if that's God's will. If someone is sick, 99 times out of 100, it is God's will that they're healed. We don't need to ask if it's God's will. There's one guy in the entire Bible that I know of that God did not heal, and that's the Apostle Paul. But God didn't just be like, no, I'm not going to heal you, and good luck. He goes, I'm not going to deliver you from whatever this issue was. I think I know what it is, not that important. But he says, but my grace is sufficient for you. He doesn't just leave him hanging. He goes, I'm going to give you the power to handle what I'm allowing to come into your life. Amen. How many folks got some stuff in your life right now you need some grace for?
Yes.
For sure. Right? Since Sunday, I don't know, this is either the Holy Spirit or Facebook is spying on us. Probably both. But literally since Sunday, every single day I'm getting stuff on social media about prayer. Preaching clips about prayer. I'll share one right now. Priscilla Schreier. Anybody know who that is? That's Tony Evans' daughter. She's in a bunch, been in a bunch of movies, whatever. So she's big, real. She's a fiery preacher, man. And so I saw her just, it was Monday morning. I was just sitting there drinking coffee, and she comes up, and she's preaching at this women's conference. She says, look, Jesus says that my house, he's quoting Isaiah, my house will be called the house of what, church?
Prayer.
Prayer. Right, prayer for all nations. For all nations. Now, if you look at what Jesus quotes, that's in Luke and in Matthew. Jesus says, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus adds that, all right? But he's quoting from Isaiah, and this is what Priscilla Schreier goes on to say. She says, just think about the church, the Western culture church today, right? And I'm talking not just like Western culture like America, but I'm talking like everywhere like American church has bled out into the body of Christ globally, right? I've got friends that are not from America, and when I travel with them, they say, Mark, we don't need American church where we're going. American church don't work over here. We need church. We need kingdom. We don't need American church. Amen? But you look at American church, and this is what Priscilla Schreier says. She goes, look, Jesus doesn't say it's going to be called a house of worship. He doesn't say it's going to be a house of teaching. It doesn't say it's going to be a house of entertainment. It doesn't say it's going to be a house of good singing. It's going to be a house of good cafes. great programs. She says, look, if you got all that, praise God. Praise God. As long as it's been built as a house of prayer. Can I get amen? House of prayer. Couple questions, church. Just being real. We're being family here this morning. How many of us, raise your hands, how many of you have had an incredible times of prayer? Not a single hand, not up in the whole place. Amen. Now, wouldn't it make sense, because we've experienced that, wouldn't it make sense that we'd go, man, I should do that more? All right, how many people did not do it more after you had that great encounter? Come on, church. Isn't that funny? It's like if you go to a good pizza joint, you had no problem going back there the next day. You're like, man, that was real good. I'm going to go back there and do that again. But can I suggest to you that aside from preventing someone from coming to Christ, could it be that the devil, his number one target is preventing us from praying? Preventing us from getting quiet with the Lord and listening for the voice of God? You know, the devil don't really care that we come to church. I'm glad y'all are here. He's like, go ahead, go to church. Act yourself out. Sing some songs, clap your hands. Go down front. Hey, all good. But if we're not going to leave there, that time, that encounter, whatever we hear, and spend time continuing to listen to God and say, what do you want me to do? Where do I want to go? That's what, right? Those were Oka's questions. Where do I go? Who do I talk to? What do I say? Right? That's all from prayer. I mean, think about this. Like, to this question, we've all had incredible times of prayer, right? That you know, God just, I found that a lot of times with younger believers, God tends to answer more quickly. Anybody figure that out too? Because it's like we do with when we got babies. As soon as we hear them screaming, wah! I'm like, dude. Babies are pretty simple. They got poop in their diaper or they're hungry. That's it. I think when we're baby Christians, that's pretty much what the Lord's looking at us. He's like, you guys either messed up your diaper or you're hungry. So I'm going to come clean, change your pants, and give you something to eat, and you'll be good, right? But as we grow, I think sometimes God kind of withdraws from us a little bit and says, are you willing to press in? Are you willing to come up the mountain a little higher? Are you willing to diligently seek the Lord, right? So some of us have all had those times, right, where we prayed and it was like, it almost seemed like instantly God answered it, right? And you're like, wow, that worked amazing. I'm going to do that again. Except the next time we ask for something, it's like, we're like, hey, what are you doing up there? Amen. How about here's another one in this same thought process here, right? Have you ever been wrestling with something? Someone has hurt you. Someone's betrayed you. You're broken and angry. And all you can do is muster up the weakest, wimpiest prayer that you've ever thought about. And all of a sudden, God just floods wherever you are, touches your heart, and the tears roll. As I was working on this, I remembered, I don't think it was last year, I think it was the time before that Olga was here, and she was talking about praying for her sister. Right? It might have been 3 years ago, whatever it was, but, and the Lord, I remember, it hit me. The Lord said to Olga, every prayer matters. Even the little ones that you think didn't go anywhere. Yeah? How about in prayer, like a serious revelation about something that you've been grinding out, whether it's something in Scripture or just some kind of real situation in your life, you're looking for direction from the Lord, and man, he just visited you, pow, and you're like, whoa, I know what to do, right? That it just comes through, right? Amen? Question number two. How many of us feel that prayer is at least occasionally a struggle. Anybody? Yeah, come on, be real, church. I've got my hand up, not just to try to get you to put yours in. I'm confessing my sin before the Lord. Now think about this. I think there's a million reasons that prayer can feel like a struggle. Sometimes it's as simple as questioning whether whatever I'm praying about is getting past the ceiling in my house. Have you ever feel like that? Just talking to myself. But let me share a quick story here. Some of you have heard this, but it's so good. And I want to wrap this up with some encouraging things. This is encouraging as well, but when I came on staff here, I needed a vehicle. I did not have one because I had a company truck. They made me crazy company. When I quit, they made me give them their truck back. I said, can't you just bless a brother? Nah, they said, you need to give that truck back. So we had I had one vehicle and not any money. At zero, I had no money. That's funny. We do this workout at the gym. It's called this. You tuck your elbows in and go like this. It's like a shoulder exercise. Know what it's called? The no money drill. You do it both hands. I got no money. That's for real. You can look it up. The no money drill. I had no money. And I'd stepped out in faith and all these things. And one day, I never said the words out of my mouth, church. Right? We talk about God sees our heart, and that's amen. Sometimes we don't want him to. Right? We're trying to hide it. We're like, please don't look at it right now. I'm going to hide it. But he sees it all the time. And in my heart, this is what I said. If I said it out loud, it would have come out like this. You know, $5,000 would really help out right now. That's what was in there. I never said it because I would never be brave enough to talk to God like that. But, church, I said that in my heart. 3 days, I get a phone call from a guy in the church at the time. He says, man, I was praying for you. God told me to give you $5,000. I was like, no, for real. Who told you? I never said it, church. Not like I said it and somehow Google heard it and dropped it on his phone or something. You know what I mean? That was before Google and all this stuff that spies on us every day. Alexa, that's right. Alexa's got demon in it. Church, I'm telling you what, there's never a prayer that lights on your heart that God does not hear. Not one. Not one. Amen. Sometimes I think we feel that Jesus has let us down somehow. Anybody ever feel like that? Come on, be real. Let's raise your hands. We're just being family here. I love that song we sing. We don't sing it too much anymore, but right? He's never going to let you down. The issue is he doesn't do it when and how we want him to. A lot of times we pray and we're trying to steer how God answers it. Is that true? That's not a good way to pray. Amen. See, sometimes, beloved, he didn't answer the way we wanted. He waited. He delayed. Or maybe he said no. Anybody ever got to tell you no? For real. We got to start telling our kids these days no a little bit more. I tell my kids no all the time. No. Why not? Because I said so. Because I'm smarter than you, and I know what's going on more than you do. A little bit. Can I get amen? Amen? We need to prepare people to learn how to be told no and not have a meltdown about it. Because sometimes God's going to tell you no. You know what's harder? Is when you think what you're going to do is really, really good. And he still tells you no. Yeah, but Lord, look what I'm going to help all these people. I said no. Yikes. How about this one? Sometimes we've done things that we know we shouldn't have done, and now guilt and shame are whispering in our ears that God doesn't want to hear from us. Anybody other than me? lie. That is the time we should run to God and pour our hearts out and say, oh God, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. And you know what? You pray like that, instant, you are forgiven. Instantly. Instantly. Well, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't matter how you feel. Look at this one, Matthew 7:7-8. I'm going to show you guys. Here's something I still struggle with, church. I'm just being real here. This is scriptural, and I struggle with it. Matthew 7:7-8, Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. We all know this passage. Is that correct? Now, I'm sure we all know this fact, that the verbs here, ask, seek, knock, in the Greek, are what's called a continuous verb, right? It's the way that it's like ask and continue asking, knock and keep knocking, you know, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, right? It's not just like, oh, it didn't open, I'm going to leave. Yeah, it's like, keep knocking. Hello, hello. Is that true? Ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, right? But then Jesus also said, in just one chapter, we back up one chapter, Jesus says this in Matthew 6, when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites. Church, the word hypocrite here in Scripture, the Greek word basically means an actor, a pretender, right? Don't be when. Everybody say when. Everybody say when. Not if. When you pray, you're not to be like the pretenders, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corner so that they may be seen by. Oh, truly I say to you that they have their reward in full. My goodness, did you see Brother Bob? What a prayer warrior. Oh, my goodness. Man, can he pray. Now, if Bob, there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's what's feeding Bob's prayer life, you know what Bob is? A hypocrite. Yikes. If our public prayer life is better than our private prayer life, we're in danger of being in the hypocrite zone. Is that true? Does that mean we shouldn't pray publicly? No, my goodness, but work on the private stuff too. Can I get amen? Right? If you haven't prayed for a month and somebody says, can you please pray for me? Don't say, sorry, I can't pray publicly because I haven't been praying privately. No, please pray for them, all right? Because God's bigger than you. Can I get a big amen from everybody on God's green created planet? Amen. Well, look at verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. Everybody say, close your. Okay, let me modernize that. Turn off your phone. Look, I saw a few people squirm in their seat right there. Pastor, what if something happens when I'm praying? Bro, we've been around for 6,000 years, according to the Bible, and nobody has, we're still made it. Can I get amen? Isn't it crazy now we got these phones? We think somebody's going to call us at any given moment, and we got to go. What happened, man? I'm old enough to remember, like, you call somebody's house, because we have no phones, we can carry it around with us. And if there was nobody home, nothing happened. I'm that old. We didn't have no answering machines. Some of you kids are like, what's an answering machine? It's like voicemail, kinda. But you remember that, church? Yeah. You get 7-6 numbers in and you're like, wrong one. You gotta hang up and start over. Took you 35 minutes to call somebody. Man, the only thing that was satisfying about those, if you got mad at somebody, bing, you could hang up the phone and it made that like a boxing ring start the match, right? How do you do with a phone like this? That's it. I told you. When you pray, go into your inner room and turn off your phone and pray to your Father who is in secret. I love it. Not to your God, Your father. Your father. Ever say my father? I saw an ad not too long ago, and it was about, it was like on Facebook or something, and it was these kids, and in one group of kids, they'd done something wrong, and they're talking with each other. They said, man, don't let dad find out. And then the other group of kids says they did something wrong, and they said, man, let's go tell dad, because dad knows what to do. I started weeping. Instantly, the Holy Spirit said, that's who you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be a father that your children, when they blow it, because they will, they said, man, let's go get dad, because he's going to make it better. You know, that's our father. Don't hide when you've done something wrong. Run to him, because he'll fix it. He'll fix you, and then he'll fix whatever you messed up. Amen. Your father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, we're not going real deep here today, church. When you're praying, do not use, look at this one, meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they'll be heard for their many words. But let's go back to, again, back to chapter 7. Ask and keep. You're like, okay, so, all right, Jesus, which one is it, man? Am I supposed to ask and keep on asking, or am I supposed to just pray in faith and then let go? So which one? I don't know, church, I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is both. Has anybody ever prayed about the same thing more than once? Raise your hand, because we've all done that. Yeah, can I get amen? Right? And I think what happens there, the issue is really, my beloved, that everything we do for the kingdom of God has to be done in faith. Everybody say faith. Everything's got to be done in faith, which I've taught many times. If you take faith all the way down in the original language, it means to be what? Confident, right? So I need to pray. I need to, whatever I do, lead, you know, worship, preach, serve, evangelize, whatever, right? Feed people, feed the sick, clothe the naked, whatever we're doing for God, it needs to be done in faith, right? Saying that there's going to be, God is going to meet me as I do this, and something beyond just my ability to do this is going to happen, right? The result will be greater than just my own effort. Can I get amen? Right? I can't stay home on Sunday and lead worship by faith. Can I get amen? Some of you are like, can we try that next Sunday, Pastor? Because it might be better. Right? You got to show up. God is he's chosen to use us. Terrible choice, I think, but that's his choice. I would not choose to use us, but that's all good because God's smarter than I am, right? So there's got to be some faith. So here's the thing, church. If we are praying about a situation, personal situation, somebody else, we're praying for the government. Lord knows they need some prayer down there in Washington, D.C. Can I get an amen? Whatever we're praying about, we're praying for estranged children. We're praying for broken marriages. We're praying for whatever. There is a billion things to pray about. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? I don't even know where to start. Just do something. Yeah? Whether we pray in faith and just give it to God, as long as that's what's really in our heart. God, I'm giving this to you. I have spoken your word. I have decreed by faith. I've prophesied into this situation. And I'm going to stand on your word. And I'm just going to praise God. Every time that comes back to my spirit, I'm going to say, God, I already spoke into this. I know what you said. I know what's going on. Or we just feel like I'm going to pray about this again because it's coming back into my heart. As long as it's a prayer of faith, we're not going like, oh, we're not praying because we're afraid. We're not praying because we're I don't know if God heard me or not. God heard you. Pastor, do I got to pray loud or pray quiet? Who cares? Just pray. How many people have heard, oh, I can't pray like so-and-so? Good. They're kind of annoying. God, look at church. How many people got kids? How many people got multiple kids? Yeah, for real, right here. How many of you, your kids, all talk to you the same way? No. They talk to you however they want to talk to you. Sometimes a little over the line once in a while, right? But I don't expect all four of my kids, I don't want you know, Madeline to speak to me like Everly does. I want Madeline to talk to me like Madeline's talking to me. Because she's my daughter and I want to hear from her. Is that true? Yeah? Let me explain to you, because I said I struggle. Here's where I struggle in this kind of area. Over the years, by God's grace, I really have developed what seems to me to be a really great confidence in the Lord. Very, very little shakes me anymore, gets under my skin, right? I don't watch the news very much. Probably some of y'all should watch it a little bit less. Amen. But you know, I mean, like I hear stuff and I go, hey, it's fine. Right? Like I really have a pretty good understanding of God's sovereignty, right? Like God's not up there wringing his hands, you know, oh no, what are they doing now? Oh my gosh. Like I think some of us really think that, like the devil's doing stuff and then God's like, oh man, oh gosh, what am I going to do about that? And like God's running around just putting fires out. You know what? Some of those fires I think God actually started. He says, we need to burn some stuff up. Get a fire going down there. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? Church, I'm just telling you, I've got this, and we've had some experiences with our kids. You know, they've been hurt, or very doctors have said certain things, and we just laid hands on us in Jesus' name. That's not going to happen. Pow. You know, pow. There was no pow. It was no pow. I felt nothing, as a matter of fact. There was zippo. It was the opposite of pow. I mean, one of my daughters, her kidneys didn't develop right, and the doctor said when she was a baby, you're going to have UTIs for the rest of your life. That's just how it's going to be. We walked out of the doctor's office. I said, thank you very much, doctor. They're just doing their job. I'm not mad. They're just doing what they're supposed to do, right? We sat in the car. I laid hands on my little girl. I said, in Jesus' name, you will not. You will not. I don't receive that. I don't accept it. In Jesus' name, felt nothing. Absolutely nothing. The kid's 14, has not had a UTI since. 14 years, not one, right? Church, I think we want to feel something. Like, how many people love goosebumps, man? Isn't that awesome when you pray and you feel it and you're like, whoa, something's happening? Maybe not. Maybe you're just cold. You know what? It's faith is beyond feeling, man. Faith is beyond. It doesn't matter. Do I believe what God said? Yes or no? Right? It's that simple. And it's not, I say it's that simple. It's not that simple, but it is that simple. Does that make sense? Right? So for me, like, I can't remember the last time I prayed, like, for my family, like my kids. Because I'm not saying this is right. All right, church, just listen, follow me here. Because I believe that God is going to protect my children. I don't need to ask him to do that because it says in his word that he will. Right? If I told Kevin, I'm going to give you $100, and I give him $100, he's like, where's my $100? I said, I already gave it to you, bro. Does that make sense, church? Some of you probably pray every time you go somewhere, Lord, please help us get where we're going safely. Am I saying that's wrong? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Am I making sense? I think what I'm trying to say to you is that maybe I'm missing something. Does that make sense, church? See, I've built this confidence in God as I've seen him come through time and time and time and time again, over and over and over and over. Sometimes it's like he comes through and you don't even realize he came through till 3 months later. And you look back and you're like, whoa. That thing, I totally forgot about that. God actually came through on that thing, right? Is this all right, church? See, I believe 100% that God will protect me and my family, that he'll heal me when I'm sick, he'll restore anything that's been stolen from me, God will repay the enemy for any wrongs that were committed against me, God will fight for me, God will carry me safely home. I believe all of that completely. I don't care what happens to me. I will not stop believing any of that stuff. Does that sound Does that sound all right, church? I'm almost done here. Pastor Jim said something. Let me back up here. Pastor Jim said something when he was here a few weeks back, but could it be that our Father wants to give us more than just what we need? Jesus says this, my beloved, do not, so the scripture, I actually, Matthew 6, the verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you, ever say need before you ask him. Before you ask him, right? So I've talked a lot about, when I teach on adoption, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, right? I talk about it like this. My kids don't come downstairs in the morning and say, Dad, is there something for breakfast? They say, Dad, what's for breakfast? What are you making me for breakfast? There's an assumption on the behalf of my children. This morning is funny. You know, Sunday mornings is the time that they want to go slow every week. Like, there's one morning in a week we all got to go somewhere together. Why y'all got to be slow this morning? Right? So I come down. Everly, my six-year-old, she's got their little, my wife got this stool for herself because she's vertically challenged and can't reach things in the kitchen. So she's got this little fold-up stool, but now the little kids use it. They get it out, get into the fridge. By the way, Elena's 4 tomorrow, y'all. 4 years old already. I come around the corner the other day. Elena is inside the refrigerator. Got the stool out, open it up, and she's in it. I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm thirsty, Dad. Dude. She listens to Peppa Pig. Daddy, I'm thirsty. So my six-year-old this morning, she's making yogurt, all right? So she gets the yogurt out. She puts it in the spoon. Then she gets out frozen strawberries, and she places them in a circle around the edge of the bowl. And then she's got coconut flakes. She's sprinkling coconut flakes and then drizzling chocolate syrup across. I'm like, it's not a restaurant. We got church. Let's go. Man. Dude. She'll make this and be like, Dad, look what I made. Dude, unless she can start making money doing that, cut it out. All right. She watches it on YouTube, man, telling you. But think about it, George. Here's my point, right? My children, praise be to God, not one time in their lives have ever thought, am I going to have something to wear? Am I going to have something to eat? Am I going to be able to go somewhere? It's not like, can I go somewhere, Dad? It's like, I'm assuming that I can go. Are you going to let me go there? Right? It's not the issue. The question is not, is there an ability or an availability of this? I'm assuming this stuff is all here, and I just want to know if you're going to let me go. You know what Jesus says, church? Do not worry about what you will eat, what you will wear. What's the third? Where are you going to live, right? Is there 3? 2? Right? Because what did he say? Because the Gentiles worry about all these things. And as I'm working on this sermon this week, the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart. He said, son, look, how many believers spend time praying about what their basic necessities? He says, I already told you I'm going to provide for you. Why are you asking me to do something that I told you I'm already going to do? Can I get amen? You know why? Why this is important, church? Because unless some of you have a trick that I don't know about, we all have limited amount of time. Is that true? How many people, somebody told me today, oh, Pastor, I worked 60 hours this week. Bro. I was talking to Pastor Al yesterday, but he's not feeling well. Just keep him in prayer. I don't think it's anything serious. But I was talking to Pastor Al yesterday morning. Pastor Al, if you're visiting, he's our founding pastor. I said, Pastor, you don't understand, man. Like, he's had his finger off the pulse for a long time. I said, dude, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, most folks worked Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Nobody worked weekends. Nobody worked overnights. Nobody worked, right? And it's like almost nobody works 9 to 5 Monday through Friday anymore. Almost nobody. Even if your job is a 9 to 5, it's more like a 7 to whenever you're done, and hopefully you get to eat a Hot Pocket before you go to bed.
And weekends.
And weekends, right? I said, it's just we're busy, 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 and most of these companies are not paying folks extra money for working all the overtime. They're just like, oh, you don't like it? Hit the road. I'll find someone else and pay them $6 an hour, because that's basically what it boils down to. I have to work 1,000 hours in a week, right? So think about this, church. If we've got less and less time that we can pray because we're so busy and we're so God, I'm not telling you not to go to work, church. Should we not then be more targeted and more intentional about what we're praying about when we do pray? Could it be that God's saying, look, I will make sure there's food on your table? A good pastor friend of mine used to come here for quite a while, grew up in Africa, and he says, you guys don't understand over here. He goes, there was times when we sat down to eat dinner, there was no food. We had zero food, none. No food at all. We sat down at our table, plates, silverware, cups, set the table, and we closed our eyes, we held hands and thanked God for the food that we were about to eat, and opened our eyes and there's food on the table, full meal. Cups are full, food on the table, you know, bowls are full of bread, the whole nine yards. Close your eyes, God, thank you for this meal. Lord, thank you so much, we trust you, blah, 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 blah. Whatever their prayer was, open your eyes, boom, food on the table. Dude. You know what? He wasn't saying, oh God, please provide for us. Oh God, you said. Now, thank you, God, that you are our provider. Boom. Can I get amen? Is this making sense? Could it be that what Jesus is actually saying here is that we need to spend less time worrying about the basics, less time asking him about what we'll eat, what we'll wear, and all these things, and more time inquiring about the things that he has prepared for those who love him? I believe Paul said something like that. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Wow. Pastor Jim said this. If you guys remember this, there's a vast difference between a great prayer life and abiding in Christ. And abiding in Christ is the goal for every Christian. Let me explain what that looks like. We talked about this on Wednesday. Everybody hanging in there? All right. So if I get up tomorrow morning and make some coffee for my beautiful wife and myself, and we sit down on the couch and we have a nice discussion for a half an hour, which doesn't happen because the kids are insane. But if we did, it's just hypothetical here. And then I looked at my watch and said, wow, gosh, half an hour's up, babe. Talk to you tomorrow. How many of y'all think I might be sleeping on the couch that night?
Every night.
Right? See, here's what we need to think about, church. Should we set aside time that we're going to pray and be quiet and turn our phones off? And absolutely, without question, we should set that aside. But I remember years ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, son, you are a walking secret place. You're a walking secret place. The issue is learning to tune out all the noise. This is Pastor Jim's message, right? Tune out all the noise, right? Church, I struggle with the same thing. I'll sit down there, start scrolling through Facebook, and all of a sudden it's like 45 minutes, and I'm like, wow, could have done literally anything would have been more productive than that. I could have slept and would have been more productive than that. Can I get amen, right? It's so, you ain't got to be sinning at all. You're just wasting time. Right? Anybody ever do something and you're like, man, I should have done literally anything other than that? Yeah. Pretty sure the Bible says redeeming the time. because the days are evil. Yeah? Time is the most precious thing, church. You can't back it up. You can't make more of it. Once you spend it, it's gone. Amen? So, the issue really should be setting some time aside for the Lord, right? But just like when I'm done talking with my wife in the morning, the rest of the day, I conduct myself as if she's still with me. Right? I go to the gym almost every day. There's some attractive women at the gym. I don't act differently around other women that I think are attractive just because my wife is like, well, she ain't here, so what's up, girl? I'm going to conduct myself because I've made a covenant and I have a relationship with this woman. Amen? Amen. Amen? And I think that's what God's saying, look, I want you to be aware of my presence. I want you to conduct yourself as if you're in your secret place, even if you're not in your secret place. Maybe that 20 minutes or half hour we get in the morning is we're just pouring our heart out to God, which I'm going to finish with in a moment here. We're just pouring out. But my gosh, church, the rest of the day, listen. You got no idea when he's going to drop something on you. Anybody ever hear the Lord at the most inconvenient time? How about when he hits you and you're like, here comes the waterfall, and you're in the middle of a meeting. You're like, no, not now. Oh! You're like, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Right? It's being willing to say, God, I want to hear you. And I'm willing to go on your schedule. Yeah? 2 Chronicles 7. We all know 14, but let's back up one verse. I love context. Everybody say context. So I encourage you to read this whole story, okay? This is Solomon dedicating the temple. And this is a whole prayer that he prays before this. But this is what the Lord says in verse 13. Let me stop. Hang on. Let me say one thing before I read this. And we're almost done, for real. I think we've done something in the church that I've been on this for probably a year now. I think we need to be careful not to suggest to folks that God is different in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's lots of folks that say stuff, oh, God don't do that. Yeah, y'all better read your Bible because he actually already did that a few times. Amen. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, O Israel, O Jacob, is actually what he says. O Jacob, you are not consumed. That's God. I do not change. What the New Covenant Church really, without going on a huge tangent here, it's a new way of approaching God. Can I get amen? How many are glad we don't pull up to church on Sunday morning and there's a golden altar outside with a bull cut in half and blood all over the place and burning flesh? That would smell terrible. How many are glad we don't got to put blood all over our earlobes and our thumbs and our big toes just to walk into the church? Praise God. Amen. Is that all right? So look at this. God doesn't change. Everybody say this. God doesn't change. And because he doesn't change, we're still alive. Amen. If, verse 13, if, everybody say if. If I, who's I? God, shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I, who's I? God, command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, not humanity, among my people. Yikes. And, or is it and? My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn to turn from their wicked ways. Or say then. 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 Does God lie? So, here we have an if and then statement from the Lord. Does God change?
No.
I'm glad that God doesn't change. Some people, I've talked to Christians, they get mad when I tell them that. I'm like, why do you want to trust the God who changes? I don't. That's why I do trust him, because he doesn't change. Right? I know he's consistent. He's going to do the same thing every time. All his character does not change. So if God says, look, if I choose to do this, and if you can get some context, it's because of the wickedness of his people that he says, but I'm going to show up the heavens. I'm going to send locusts. I'm going to send a pestilence among my people. And you decide that you're going to humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways. God says, I promise you, I will hear you from heaven. I will forgive your sin. And I will heal your land. Here's what the Lord said to me. Drop this on me on like Tuesday, and I'm pondering this verse 14. This is what he said to me. He said, son, prayer is the act of humility. And I went, oh, how have I been in it this long and still messing all this stuff up? 25 years, and I'm just clicking on this stuff now. And I was like, Paul, oh my goodness, come on. And the Lord said, here's what you think. Like, and we've taught this, right? We're like trying to figure out where we're jumping through hoops how to be humble so that we can pray. And he says, no. Just the act of prayer is a statement of humility. The fact, because what you're doing is you're looking up. I don't care if it is the lamest prayer that has ever been prayed by anyone. The fact that you're looking beyond yourself and saying, oh God, I don't know what to do. Know that one of the greatest kings of Israel, that was his prayer. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know what God says to that prayer? He goes, stand back and watch what I'm going to do. Put your swords away. Go to the edge of the mountain and watch what I do to your enemies. That prayer seemed pretty wimpy to me. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to look at you, Jesus. He says, perfect. I've been waiting for you to say that. You keep sticking your hands in it and messing it up. Let go. Prayer is the act of humility, church. Wow. No matter how you pray, what you pray, how long you pray for, how often you pray, if we pray with any faith at all, that alone is an act of humility. Because we're acknowledging that we need God. Let's stand up. I'll leave you with this. PRAY is an acronym. Some of you probably have heard this, but it's so good. PRAY. P-R-A-Y. There's a little way to do this, and you can... It's good. P is praise. When you pray, start with some praise. Hey, Pastor, I don't got a worship team. You don't need one. If I'm going to praise Kevin, I want to say, man, that's a great necklace you got on there, bro. Your head looks especially shiny today. Man, you did a beautiful time grooming that, bro. You look amazing. Right. Church, praising somebody, when we praise God, is we acknowledge him for who he is. Not if we can... Thanksgiving and praise go together. We can thank him for what he's done, right? Thank him for the cross. Thank him for the general stuff. Thank him for what he's done in your personal life. That's all part of praise, right? We come in his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We want to get into the courts, right? Number two, we repent. And we've made repent a big bad word in so much of the church today. You know, we have an altar call. People don't want to get up anymore because like, what's everybody going to think about me? Who cares what everybody thinks about you? You know how many times I came to the altar in the church I was in when I got saved, and in this church I came down front, man, over and over and over and over, I said, God, I got to run down to the front of this place and get on my knees a million times, I'm going to do it. Because there's stuff in my life that's got to go. Can I get an amen, church? And you know what? I don't care if somebody says, oh, well, that's Mark going down front. It's none of your business why Mark's going down front. He's got to do some business with Jesus. Can I get an amen? Number three, ask. Ask. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and petitions, make your requests be made known to God with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Ask. You know what God wants us to ask sometimes? Because he wants to answer us so specifically so that we know he's listening. Watchman Nee, one of the greatest theologians of modern times, in his one of his books, he says this. The largest church in the world for years from jail most of the time. He spent most of his life in prison in China. But he had one of his pastors says, Pastor Nee, I'm praying that God gives me a bicycle so I can reach more people. So Watchman Nee says, well, what color do you want it? The guy's like, I don't care, I just want a bike. He says, how is God going to give you a bike if you don't tell him what color you want it to be? He wants to know, he wants you to know that he's listening. Church, if you're going to ask God for something, be specific. Tell him what you want. He's your daddy. My kids got no problem telling me what they want. All day, every day. And you know what? As their daddy, I got no problem giving it to them. Because I love it. Amen. Last one. Yield. Yield to our King. And church, yielding doesn't mean no. Yielding means I'm going to listen for instruction and I'm going to yield to it. Maybe that instruction is no. Maybe that instruction is yes. Maybe that instruction is not yet. Maybe that instruction is go here. Do this. Do this. How many of you, church, last question. How many of you prayed about something and you hear God and he gives you an answer that seems got nothing to do with what you're praying about? Yield. Yield. He's talking to you. He's saying, you don't see the connection, but I do. Yield to the voice. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this time together this morning. Just sense the sweet, sweet presence of the Holy Spirit right here. Teach us to pray. The only thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to do was pray. Not cast demons out, not heal the sick, not worship, not build a church. Teach us how to pray. My beloved, the Lord is calling us. 2023 it's going to be an awesome year, but it could be a real ugly one out there. Teach us how to pray. Holy Ghost, I pray right now, let us feel that little tug in our heart. Come away with me. God, if it's 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes that we've engaged the kingdom. And who knows what that 5 minutes can do to change the rest of our day. Lord, help us get out of bed earlier. If we're morning folks, get out of bed 20 minutes earlier. Turn the TV off sooner at night. Get off Facebook. Get off all that junk. Spend some time with you. Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen? Amen. Well, guys, bless you. Facebook and YouTube, thank you so much for being with us. Next Sunday, y'all, invite somebody to church with David DeMarco. Amen. Guys, have a good week. We'll be here Wednesday night for prayer, 7 o'clock. And I hope you guys are blessed. Wandy and Leon's group, you guys are heading back that direction. Enjoy your afternoon together. Amen. In Jesus' name.